I'm Karen Kirkman. I'm the Family Ministry Director here at Calvin. And when Neil asked some of the staff to share this summer one of our favorite psalms, I knew right away which psalm was my favorite, Psalm 40. But I was probably the last one to reply to his email because Psalm 40 is something I hold really close to my heart. And it means so much to me that it's difficult for me to talk about, but today I'm going to do my best with God's help. So I'd love to share with you what the psalm says and what it says so deeply to me and what I hope it says to you. But this morning, for a minute, I want to stop talking and have you listen to your heart. If it helps, close your eyes and think of a time when you have felt stuck. Maybe you're stuck now. Maybe a marriage, a job, a relationship that's gotten difficult, an addiction. Not just any old time. We get stuck every day in something, but a time when you felt hopeless. And I want to share these words from the book of Psalms, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and he has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. And then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is written within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Thou, O Lord, will not withhold thy compassion from me. Thy loving kindness and thy truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humbled together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame, who say to me, aha, aha. Let all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let those who love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. This morning I want to share a story with you about a guy, a man, a good-looking man, as a matter of fact. He had a great life. He had a father who loved him and believed in him, and he had lots of brothers who protected him and taught him. And he loved God like none other. He knew God, but he was facing a situation like nothing he'd ever faced before, and it was so difficult that he probably turned everywhere he could think of. to his friends, to his brothers, to his dad, trying to find resolve, but to no avail. Nothing was helping. And nothing was giving him even any hope of help. And finally, when everything else had failed him, he turned to God. And he asked the question, God, why won't you help me? Where are you? I need you. Please, God, help. I can't do this. I can't do any of it anymore. And so this guy waited patiently, intensely, and he waited, and he waited. And actually, it may not have been as patiently as we would like to believe. He did so reluctantly. He didn't have a choice. Everything else had been exhausted. But finally, his hope was fulfilled. His God, our God, didn't disappoint. His hope was that God would work a genuine newness, and the hope was not in vain. And the funny thing is, as this guy waited, his faith grew. He trusted God and God's promises because of what he'd experienced of God in the past. But moments were coming and going when he seemed to forget about all those times that God had been there. All he was focused on in this moment was that God was not there now when he needed him. And just as we're instructed by Jesus in the book of Matthew to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, this guy did just that. And finally, he got his answer. Because God turned to him and heard his cry. And when God heard, God acted. And this guy was rescued. He was literally rescued from a pit of tumult, of death, or what felt like death. God not only rescued him from death, he set his feet on a rock and established his steps. He was saved from something so horrible for something so wonderful, more wonderful than he even imagined. But the experience that he went through of being lowered into this pit to slowly die of hunger, loneliness, despair, and desolation never left him. David, he remembered it, and he wrote about it. And through the years, thousands of years, countless people have been blessed by David's experience and by his words. Having God hear his cry, inclining his ear, and taking him, drawing him, bringing him up, setting David's feet in new places and putting a new song in his mouth, this was a miraculous personal rescue for David. And the enormity of it has public interest and benefit. Because God was trustworthy in David's situation, others can trust. We can trust. You can trust. And those are easy words for us, trust in the Lord. I hear them all the time. I teach them to the children. Trust in the Lord. Of course we're supposed to trust in the Lord, but are they just words that are easy to roll off our tongue? When things get really hard for us, where do we turn to? When we don't hear from God, do we do what David did and wait patiently? And when we don't hear from him, do we decide he must want us to take matters into our own hands and try to solve the problem ourselves? What does our trust look like? Well, David's trust in God's rescue changed David. God put a new song in his mouth. He had an entirely new orientation. He was different. Life began new from him. If he was going one way, God turned him around, and he went the other way. And it was a new opening of a public life for David, because for him, he had hoped so intensely. Many saw, and many trusted and feared in the Lord. David experienced God's blessings and wonders and thoughts as supernatural, extraordinary, miraculous work, unlike anything he expected or anything he'd ever known. Who is like you, God? He wondered. There is no one to compare. David realized that God's intervention wasn't just an ordinary display of nature, a coincidence. Well, wasn't that nice? And he praised God for showing himself to David in this way. And what's amazing is that what God did for David is the same thing that I believe God wants to do for each one of us. No other God does this. David discovered and was reminded again that our God is the right source of hope and trust, not anywhere else he had turned, God alone. A new orientation. David's life began again, changed into a public life for those who hope intensely in the Lord. And David's hope went beyond himself. Me, what do I need? David's hope was now in the Lord, whose ways are higher than our ways and whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts. However vast and infinite God's minds and thoughts are, we need to be reminded, as David was, that they are towards us. David saw God revealed as God spoke and made himself known through his words and his mighty works. And as David saw God revealed, there was clarification for what God wanted from him as he was newly rescued. And it wasn't conventional religion. It was this new song that engaged him in obedience to God, not just ordinary following the Torah, but embracing it and delighting in it, as well as going public with the revelation and not squandering the news of this new song. David was delighted to do God's will, and God's law was written on his heart. His desire to be obedient to God and his commands came out of God extending his amazing grace to David in this dire situation. God cares about our heart and about his law. The question isn't should we obey God, but why do we obey God? Without our hearts and a delight to do God's will, we just go through the motions, and God doesn't desire that or require it. But what God does desire and require is sacrifice, except that it must be from our hearts. His son is the perfect sacrifice for sin. And this is promised in the Old Testament and fulfilled in Christ, who delighted to do his Father's will. Our worship is fulfilled in Christ by his Holy Spirit. And David turned into a true witness. What is written on the heart must be spoken to the world. David's message became God's righteousness, which is the perfect will of God manifested in a true relationship with him. David didn't hide God's righteousness in his heart. And it's a bit prophetic as Jesus comes to do the will of God in sacrificing himself for our sins. So this is the main point, the main agenda of our faith, good news. Righteousness, faithfulness, deliverance, steadfast love, reliability, the whole gospel is presented in this new song, this new orientation. David discovered that doing God's will is to proclaim his righteousness, his faithfulness, his salvation, his love, and his truth. So let's jump forward in this story of David. A few thousand years. To the summer of 98. Sorry, a little older than that. I was a new stay-at-home mom with two young kids. I thought about being a mom my whole life. I was excited for it, but I found out I wasn't very good at it. I'd worked downtown in offices since I was 12 years old. I was good at that. But now I was home with two young kids, with very few friends in the same situation. My family was scattered. I was tired. I didn't have an income for the first time since I was 12. I was ill-equipped. I was impatient. I was really sad. And I was depressed. And I was a horrible mom. And as the days went by, it didn't get any better. As a matter of fact, every night when I went to bed, I cried myself to sleep thinking about how I had failed my family that day. And I prayed to God asking for forgiveness and for help And then the next day would come, and I'd run to my room, hoping my feelings of ineptness and anger would go away. I actually got up the courage to talk to my pediatrician. He made light of it. He didn't have any idea. My mom, it happens. I went to parenting classes. I went to therapy. I read books. I even turned to drugs, trying to take the edge off. I was really stuck, truly, in the deepest pit of despair and destruction, and I was spinning faster and faster and lower and lower. Well, one particular summer day, like today, we were out in the backyard, the girls were playing, and they had a quibble, but it felt like more than a quibble. And I don't remember what they were fighting about, but I do remember running into my kitchen to get away from them, afraid of what I would say or do. And when I got into my kitchen, I fell like a bag of rocks on the floor. It was just flat out, smeared, face down. And I cried out to God, God, where are you? Why won't you help me? I keep praying day after day for help, but you won't help me. Where are you? And it was in that moment of complete abandonment and surrender that God inclined to me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up out of the pit of destruction and Mary Clay. God actually picked me up off that kitchen floor and shouted at me, a loving father shout. Karen, I am here. And I will give you power if you will give me your life. These are the words that God spoke to me, loud and clear. But it was not clear what they meant. What do you mean, give you my life and power? What power? And for what? And that day I went back into the backyard, and I don't remember what I said. I was confused about what had just happened. But I said something to my girls, and I remember that they said to me, okay, Mom. For any of you who know, those are magic words from Mom. And they held hands, and they ran over to our sandbox. I was stunned. What's happening? You will give me power if I give you my life. So that day I made a deal with God. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I did. God, I don't know what this means. I know you exist. I've always believed in you. I've always had faith, but not like this. God, you're a God that I pray to and then go about my business, not paying attention. I hadn't experienced the power of God's Holy Spirit before. Or if I did, I didn't recognize it. But now, he's shouting at me. So for the next week, I continued to earnestly seek out God in every situation, to ask him to make my hands his hands and my words his words when I disciplined my kids. And it worked. There was God's power. God was in control, not me. And over again, God stepped up to my test and showed me that he truly was with and in me, that whatever I did, in every word, every thought, and every deed, when I did it in his name, there was power. And I continued to ask him, why? Why now? I was 38. What is this for? How do I use it? And God continued to whisper that it was for him to grow his kingdom. My ears had truly been opened that day. I knew that obedience or hearing what God says isn't about an external display or ceremony like what we're doing today. It was in his internal. God wanted my heart. He wanted my everything. And like David in the psalm, then I said, behold, I come. Here I am, God, to do what you tell me to do. Not only because it's my duty to do your laws, I was past that, but I wanted to obey God from my new heart that had been so broken, but that God had made new and whole. Obedience to God followed his outpouring of grace to me. He saw something in me that I never saw or that I thought had been lost. The ability to raise my beautiful children in his name and for him. So that summer, I flipped open my Bible in the same backyard, coincidentally, to Psalm 40. And as I began reading, I started crying uncontrollably, and I couldn't stop because David had experienced something that I felt like I had experienced, and I couldn't believe how well he was expressing it. I wanted to sing a new song. I wanted to give everything to God because he didn't just give me back my life, he gave me a brand new life for him. And God was telling me through this psalm that he understood. My tears to God were a cry to him for continued deliverance from sin and my enemy. I felt convicted and I felt sad as I remembered how I chose to sin, how I allowed the enemy to have his way in our home, and how I sought out every idol to fight back. But as I read and I wept, I was also filled with such unspeakable joy and gratitude for God's deliverance from that sin, as he inclined his ear to me and heard my cry and set my feet on a rock and made my footsteps firm. So I was still a stay-at-home mom, but everything had changed. So for the next year or so, I asked God to give me his power, to share his name every time we had play dates at our house. And when the opportunity came up to teach Sunday school here at Calvin, I knew I needed to step into that. And I continued to pray that God would give me the opportunities to proclaim glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation, that I would never restrain my lips. And honestly, that summer I also prayed for income and for a way to connect to this community and a way to serve and thank God for all he had done for me. And through those deep heart prayers, God called me to serve with the children and families here at Calvin in this position. Crazy. God, that's crazy. No way. I cannot work with children after what I've been through with my own children. God was whispering to me to check it out. He does that until you don't listen to the whispers. I brushed his voice away, but then one night I wrestled with him. I gave him every reason that I couldn't do this. But because I can't do it, he knew he could through me. So every day I hold on to God closely in fear and in wonder as I continue this journey at Calvin. Psalm 40:10 says, I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Like David, God continues to use this experience every day as I work with his children and families at Calvin. My weakness he makes strong. And whenever I do face the enemy in a situation, when I'm tempted to give in and to doubt God, where are you? Why won't you answer me? I need you. I remember my story. He inclined his ear. He brought me up out of the pit, and I sing a new song. And I know he will not withhold compassion from me, and his loving kindness and truth will continually preserve me, even when evil surrounds me. And I pray that God would again be pleased to make haste and deliver me and help me, so that all who seek God will rejoice and be glad and say continually, "The Lord be magnified," with a new song and a new orientation. Do not delay, oh my God. Psalm 40 is unique. It's a combination of a psalm of praise and thanksgiving and a psalm of prayer and lament. In verses 1 through 10, David expresses a song of thanksgiving, where in verses 11 through 17, he expresses lament. And it ends where it began. Do not delay, oh my God. Our own Neil Trainer wrote, "The focus of the psalm must stay the same, regardless of the starting point, whether praise or lament. Psalm 40 is a description of the natural rhythm of a life of faith. At the center of both the structure and the message of Psalm 40, verse 9 tells the hearers that they are to seek God's will for their lives and live obediently with God's law in their heart. The unity of the psalm conveys that it is to the Lord alone that one must turn to in times of great joy and in times of great need. Even when we don't hear from God, whatever dark phases are contained in his plans for us, our motto remains, "While I have breath, I have hope." The psalm tells us that God, our God, is a God who sees us. And because of that, we can see God in a new light. So this morning, I wonder where you are in Psalm 40. What's your phrase or your verse? Are you stuck? And if you are, how are you going to wait? Is your faith going to be strengthened while you wait? Or maybe you're looking to everyone and everything and everywhere to help you except God. What are your idols, your false gods? How do you distract yourself? And where are you allowing evil to have its way? Or maybe God's brought you up. Now what? Are you going to hide it in your heart? Or are you going to celebrate and share and proclaim when God inclined his ear to you? And if we don't celebrate and proclaim, will God continue to rescue us? I encourage each of you to share your story. It's not easy, but it's powerful. God is powerful. And I invite you to reread Psalm 40 and find yourself in it. And in praying this psalm, I invite you to imitate David's undaunted trust that past favors of God should strengthen our hope that he would once more come to our rescue. And let's all look forward to that moment with great rejoicing. Eugene Peterson reminds us that people of faith are not robots, computer programmed to go through religious motions, and that God is not an exhibit like a piece of great art in a museum so that we take occasional strolls through the galleries in ooh and awe at appropriate intervals. We praise him when we are actual participants in his creative works of deliverance. It's beautiful. So as we wrap up this morning and the band comes back up to the stage, I'd like to ask that you join me in this prayer that Eugene Peterson wrote. As we pray together these words. Lord, we want to learn to read your scriptures in a personal way, so that they are words written not about others, but to me. And the result is not information crammed into my head, but behavior animated by faith. As we praise you, great God, help us to be both personal and honest. I do not want to parrot generalities I have heard from others, but to witness to your saving help in my life. Amen.